Welcome back to the Bearcat Tip-Off Talk podcast presented by Donahue Accounting Services. For friendly expert tax advice whenever you need it, come to Donahue Accounting Services. A leading accounting firm in Cincinnati, Ohio, our top-notch accountants strive to help you resolve all your financial and tax issues. Call Donahue Accounting Services today for a free consultation at 513-528-3982 or visit online, DonahueAccountingService.com. I'm your host, Alex Meacham, former Bearcat basketball player from 1997 to 1999 under the Hall of Fame coach, Bob Huggins.
And I'm Neil Meyer with the Front Office News.
And I'm JT Smith, Editor-in-Chief for the Front Office News.
All right, fellas, we are back for another episode. Let's jump right into it. The Bearcats are currently 22-14 after defeating Bradley 74-57. JT, thoughts on the Bearcats' performance?
Hey, man, Jizzle James. Jizzle James, first start. Had a career high 25 points, played 38 minutes, one turnover. Man, that's fire. That's what you want from your point guard. I thought, you know, Dan, Simas, and Jizzle, they gave the Bearcats a glimpse of what next year could look like on a high stage. I know they played Bradley, but at the end of the day, they're at a win or go home situation, and they handle business. You know, they really weren't in danger all day, which was good. And I just Jizzle James, man, Jizzle James, and just the growth of the guys. You see, Simas, he didn't have 20 like I wanted him, but he had 17. I'm taking that all day, and he followed that up like where he had 28 or 25 against The team previously,
and then
28 and followed with 17. I can roll with that. You know, he didn't have a 5-point game, a 6-point game. He went, had 17, pats on the back. And I like what we're seeing. You know, Dan had another good game. He's just been stacking up good games. And Jizzle, you know, with Day-Day being out, it's going to make it tougher against Indiana State, though. But It's one of those things where Jizzle is, as a freshman, man, he's shown a lot. And Bearcat fans need to – I understand it's been one of those things where people have been wanting to see more Jizzle, and they're able to see it. And it was real good, man. So that's where I'm rolling with. And you know, I'm just happy how they played. They got the dub. Hopefully they can keep winning.
Hey, JT, I was talking to a couple of Bearcat fans today, actually. We were talking about Jizzle, and just to your point, they were like, why wasn't he starting earlier? Why weren't they playing him more earlier? And as much as, you know, I agree in some respects that, you know, there's some games I thought he probably should have played more. Yeah. But I really think the Bearcat staff has brought him along well, because there were still some areas in which he's learning with the game that they brought him along. For example, in the Bradley game, I don't remember if it was the first or second possession of the game. Jizzle guarding went under the screen on a 3-point shooter.
He did that the whole first half, Meach.
Yeah.
And, adjustment.
And you know, it was like there are just certain things to the game where he's still learning those. And I think the staff's done a good job of not putting him out there to really lose confidence in a lot of areas, but just get him, you know, bits and pieces of, so you see these excellence here and there, but you're not seeing all these flaws that are just flaws because he's young.
Yeah, for sure. You're in the Big 12, everybody's going to challenge you. I know the Big 12 isn't doing as good in the tournament as people probably expected, but end of the day, every night you got to suit it up. You got a prime scorer on the other side. And it's a little nuanced stuff. Like his beginning of the season, he was real good on the ball, solid on the ball. But then when the ball went opposite of him, or he passed, the person got off the ball, he got beat off backdoor cuts and stuff like that. And I feel like now that's cleaned up. So, nobody's perfect, of course. But, I mean, from game one and now, he's made such a big growth and jump, especially on the defensive end, that I think if you put him out there from the beginning, just log him all these minutes, then it could turn bad. Because if you're scoring 15 and then you're giving up 30 every night, it could weigh on you possibly, especially being young. So
yeah. And also too, I think when you play Jizzle and Dan together early in the season, defensively, it hurts early in the conference season.
Yeah.
It hurts at times because Dan's still learning defensively.
Yeah.
There was things he did against Bradley. I'm just like, come on, Dan. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So you got both those guys on the court together, you're giving up some points early in the season. Now, like you said, I think you made a great point. They've shown a lot of growth through the season.
Yeah. For sure. 100%. Nah, they showed a lot of growth. So I think you could see where, you know, just think about somebody posted something today and it made me really think. Like with Dan, he's made a big jump from freshman year to sophomore year. But the thing is, people don't really realize is he was playing freshman ball in the AAC. He went from the AAC to the Big 12 and still made the jump. So yep. You have to hold weight. And he does do stuff that you're like, man, but he does a lot of stuff that you're like, man, he gives you the yin and the yang, but he does more good stuff than bad for sure. But it's crazy as he still made a hell of a sophomore jump going to the best basketball conference in America.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So like, you know, if he would have did this with the AAC, it still would have been impressive, but you know, it wouldn't hold as much weight. Like he still made a jump. So like that shows how talented the young man is.
Yep, just a preview for what's to come, hopefully next season with all these guys coming back. It's going to be, I think, the season we've been waiting for. Neil, your thoughts on the game? But before we get to that, Neil, you were in attendance for the Bradley game, correct?
Correct.
Talk a little bit about the crowd. I know that the upper bowl is closed out. They did that last year with the NIT, correct?
Correct.
So what was the atmosphere like?
It was actually a great atmosphere, 5,000 fans or so, roughly, if I remember right. They showed out, and most importantly, while we're talking about the crowd, got to give them a shout-out for honoring John Newman with his 1,000th career point. That was a special moment in a hard-fought career for John Newman, and it was great to see them give that kind of reaction to him after burying the free throw for the 1,000th point.
And you know what? I love that because we've talked about that over and over during this podcast that – you know, John Newman is a typical Bearcat, and they responded, right? They responded as like, you're for sure, you know, one of us. And I really think John Newman, I think next year and the year after, people will realize how important a guy like John Newman is. They'll always be looking for that next John Newman, right? So it was, I agree with you. I was happy to see that. Now, I had to watch the game on ESPN Plus on my computer, and the way the camera angle was, the crowd looked great. The crowd looked energetic. You know, you got different people in the lower bowl than, you know, in a normal regular season game because you got your regular season ticket holders. You got maybe some more excitable fans. I think, Neil, help me out with this. Didn't Wes Miller do something with the students that showed up? Did he have tickets for them, or what was the deal with that again?
Yeah, so Coach Miller actually bought 300 student tickets to give out to the first 300 fans that came to the arena.
Nice. And how was the student section? Pretty good?
Yeah, it was packed. It was filled pretty tight all the way up to the top of the student section. As always, Bearcat students come out and support on game day. So that it was a great crowd and a good atmosphere.
Update on Day-Day Thomas.
Yeah, unfortunately, many people have already saw the news that we have put out. And that came out right before the game on Saturday. But Day-Day Thomas is out for the season with a broken foot. So a tough blow, but it's one that keeps the train must go on. And, I mean, people got to think about it too. Like, Day-Day Thomas had a fantastic first season in the Big 12. He finishes his junior season averaging nearly 10 points, three rebounds and three assists roughly per game on about 39% shooting. So overall, still good numbers for his first year at the Division I level, but it's a devastating blow to lose Day-Day Thomas for the season, especially here during the NIT run.
Yeah. So, Neil, why don't you jump into your thoughts, since you were at the game, your thoughts on the Bearcats performance?
Yeah, overall, I thought it was a great performance. JT kind of alluded to it earlier, but Jizzle James was phenomenal. I thought he was arguably the best player on the court, and, I mean, it showed on – showed on Saturday, 25 points, 11-17 shooting. And 38 minutes of play, just a one turnover. I don't think you can get any better of a stat line than that. I mean, we know with Day-Day Thomas being out that Jizzle James is going to see a bigger load of the minutes, but wasn't truly expecting to basically be playing all 40 minutes, close to roughly with 38, but one turnover in 38 minutes, you don't see many other freshmen doing putting up those kind of numbers. Despite it being a Bradley team, you don't see many freshmen putting up those kind of numbers in college basketball right now. So I thought Jizzle James was fantastic, and it was great to kind of see him get the reaction from the crowd that he deserved after the game too. I know he did his ESPN interview. He walked over, hugged his father and his family, and then he walked off to a standing ovation. So that was pretty cool to see. And for us who know, Jizzle's a quiet guy. So to see him kind of walk off the court after his interview, clapping his hands, taking it all in, smiling with his family, that was pretty good sight to see. But then you look down, Dan Skillings with 16 and 8. CMOS finished with 17. But the biggest thing I want to talk about is that Saturday's performance was a great example of what 2024-2025 could potentially look like. If you have a three-headed monster of Jizzle James, Dan Skilling, and CMOS Lukosius combining for 65 of your 74 points, it's a pretty exciting day. So overall, great performances for those guys. Glad they got the job done. That's a very good Bradley squad. But overall, the journey continues right here on Tuesday night versus Indiana State.
Yeah, before I get my thoughts, real quick, Neil. Now, sometimes when we do our podcast, and for those Bearcat fans out there that listen, when we record this, we use StreamYard so I could see Neil and JT. Sometimes Neil comes in clean-shaven. Sometimes he's got a beard. We never know. But, JT, do you notice Neil's got, like, the Superman curl in the front tonight? Do you see that?
Yeah.
It's fucking bad right now.
He's going for the sexy look tonight. Well, what's up? You see that curl in the front?
Gotta go get a haircut now.
That's Superman curl.
Yeah. What were you going for there, Neil? Were you coming from a date or something? Did you go to Ruby's?
Nah, I haven't been feeling well all day, so I went and coached, and I've been sitting in bed all day because this weather change got me messed up.
Oh, man. Boy, I tell you what, it was 70 today, and tomorrow's going to be wind and rain. And
the dry air, man, it's beating me.
Yeah, pause. So.
This weather is crazy.
That was crazy, wasn't it, JT? hey, I just quickly, when I text you guys, Corey Blunt called me. Shout out to the godfather of Bearcat basketball, the Hall of Famer, Corey Blunt. He called me up. He listens to the podcast, and, you know, we really appreciate, you know, someone like Corey listening. So he called me up saying he was listening to the pod. So just quickly, you guys pretty much summed everything up really well. Once again, the preview of, I think, what we're going to see next year is really what gets me excited when I watch them play Bradley. We're watching a CMOS Lukosius that we thought we were going to see earlier in the season, but due to some health things, we didn't. And we're now seeing that young man. So imagine what he's going to be like next year. Jizzle, finally, you know, we see that, what he's capable of. Dan, and imagine I'm telling you, I had a discussion with somebody the other day. Rayvon redshirted, and it might be the best thing that's happened to him because he is going to come back with a hunger. Think about this. Rayvon was a four-star, right?
Yeah.
Right? Four-star player. Always was the best player at Taft. One of the top players in the country. And then you come to the University of Cincinnati, and you've got guys you played with. Rayvon played AU basketball with Gabe Cupps, who plays a lot at Indiana. He played AU with Reed Shepard. We all know what Reed Shepard's doing at UK. And then you come to Cincinnati and you're redshirted. You know, it's like I feel like he took a step back and really looked and said, man, I've discovered a new hunger. And I'm You know, I'm telling you, man, that kid is going to be something else next year, man. Getting stronger. I think, I don't know if one of you guys said something. I think it was you guys
up after every game.
That's what, yeah.
Every home game, yeah. He's out there 20 minutes after the game putting up shots.
Yeah. He's with Big Ty, right? McKinley after
the game. Right? Yeah. And Tyler's been in there multiple times. Many people don't know that, but Tyler McKinley, there's been some 9 p.m. tip-offs where him and Ray have been in there till 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning just putting up shots.
And you got to love that, man. Just the young crop of guys, and just I think the mentality of these young guys is impressive. I get more and more excited. And real quickly, before we move on, I want to give a huge shout-out to Tyler McKinley, also his brother, Alex McLaughlin. So Thursday, I had the honor of giving out the Local 12 – Southwest Ohio Player of the Year Award, and it went to Tyler McKinley. Tyler came in studio, and we gave him the award. Just a great, humble kid, man. So I'm excited to see what he's going to do here for the Bearcats in the future. But in the present, the Bearcats take on Indiana State on Tuesday at 9 p.m. in Terre Haute. How do you say it? Terre Haute? Is that how you say it?
Terre Haute. So.
Terre Haute or Terre Haute? How you say it?
Terre Haute.
Terre Haute. There's like a T at the end.
Is it Terre Haute?
Hope.
Yeah.
Terre Haute.
Hope. Okay. All right.
Or if you want to be like Terre Haute.
You're listening to the Bearcat Tip Off Talk podcast presented by Donahue Accounting Services. Let's jump into the big old segment sponsored by Smart Dog Solutions. In this segment, we cover players to watch in key matchups. JT, who do we look out for from the Bearcats?
Man, so let's see. On the road. Shoot, man. I'm going to go Jizzle, man. Jizzle James on the road, because I think protecting the ball is going to be paramount. He had one turnover against Bradley. I think he needs to keep – I want to see him to have – two or less, because it'll be a different environment. But I feel like that's going to be paramount for everybody else. I think that he'll be leading the way, logging those minutes at the point guard, especially without Day-Day. So I want to see him score a lot as well. But at the same time, I just want to see him protect the ball. That's the main thing. So if he has less than two turnovers, give me about 4 to 5 assists. And if he's not assisting high, I want to see him at 15 plus on the scoring side. So something around that range.
I like it. It'd be great to see back-to-back games for playing well. And that'd give him that confidence he needs moving forward. And that will push him to, want to put in that work right away in the offseason as well. Neil, who do we need to watch out for from Indiana State?
Yeah, so obviously this Indiana State team is one that is a pretty dangerous Indiana State team. 30-6 on the season. Hate to say it, they should have been in the NCAA tournament over a poorly, poorly offensively struggling Virginia team. We got robbed of seeing Big Robbie Avila in the NCAA tournament as he highlights this Indiana State team. The Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, College Jokic is what we're calling him.
Don't give him too many. Don't give him too many right now. Keep going.
But overall, he's the guy that makes Indiana State go, the 7-foot center. He's played a total of 1,041 minutes where he's averaging 17 points, 7 rebounds a game on 54% shooting. And it's not often you see a 7-footer shooting 40% from behind the arc. So he's the guy that really kind of leads the Sycamores here. But overall, this is a very dynamic Indiana State team. They have 5 players averaging double digits in scoring. And I mean, let's talk about it, guys. There's not many college teams at a mid-major level like Indiana State where you got 5 guys averaging 11 or more points. But it starts with Robbie Avila. Ryan Conwell, the 6'5" point guard, is the second best leading scorer on the team, averaging 16.5 points per game. But he is shooting 50% from the field and 43% from the behind the arc. So he's a dynamic 3-level scorer who can really do it all. But for me, I think this is a matchup for John Newman where he could take over this game on Ryan Conwell. I think that will be the assignment that we see John Newman versus Ryan Conwell. And if that's the matchup, Conwell loves to shoot the three ball. John Newman's an elite perimeter defender. I think that's the matchup you circle for this one. Obviously, people are going to talk about the Robbie Avila versus the Azeez Bandego, Jamil Reynolds, Victor Lockin, or the front court matchup, whatever it may be. But personally, I think this is the matchup where John Newman if John Newman has an elite performance tomorrow night where he locks down a guy like Ryan Conwell and holds him under 10 points, I think the Bearcats win by double digits. But it starts with John Newman's defensive efforts, in my opinion.
All right, you know what time it is. All right, Bearcat fans, it is time for the name game with Neil Meyer. And this is where we take the opposing team's roster and we try to have Neil Meyer pronounce the names. Today will be Indiana State. And I've got a little twist on this one this time. So, Neil, are you ready?
Yes, sir.
You're on the Indiana State roster, right? On the website.
Yep.
All right. Let's start with number 7.
Number 7 is Augustinas Kiedulas.
JT, you see how he rolled his tongue claws? He's like, do it again.
Augustinas Kiedulas from Lithuania.
You need
it's got an audio. You want me to play it?
Yeah, play the audio real quick. You playing it? No. Yeah, you can't hear it.
You can't hear it. It's Augustinas Kiedulas. That's how they said it.
Kiedulas. You need to have that. You need to bring that little Superman curl back when you say that, man. It adds to it. All right. Here's where we have the twist. Okay. You've already said his name, but number 21 is
Robbie Avila.
Okay. Now, obviously that's an easy name, but he has some great nicknames. Okay. Let's go over some of his nicknames. Tell me which one you guys like the best. Okay. And if I miss some, let's add some. We've got Milk Chamberlain. Larry. I like the Milk Chamberlain one. Larry Nerd. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, which is probably the most popular one he's been called. Larry Blurred, I guess, in reference to his goggles. College Jokic, right? Steph Blurry. Neil, apparently Neil likes that one. And Rob Wave. All right, so any ones that I missed?
Nah, I think those are the bigger nicknames that he's been getting called that you've seen more public attention to.
Okay, JT, which one do you like the best?
I'm going to go Kareem. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, right?
Kareem. That's your favorite? Okay, Kareem. Yeah. Okay, Neil?
Hey, Larry Blurred is crazy.
That's your favorite?
That's my favorite. That's crazy. That's low-key tough because Larry Bird had a historic career there. And just to be kind of in the same category, but saying he's blurred because of the goggles, I'm assuming, that's crazy.
Good. That's good. I would tend to agree with you there, Neil. I think that's a good one, man. The Big O segment is sponsored by Smart Dog Solutions. So my player to watch is going to be Azeez. And here's why. I think Azeez could really change this game. And what I love about Azeez is Azeez doesn't have to have 10 points for you to say he had a good game, right? He can affect it in so many ways. And he doesn't even have to have a block to affect the game. He could just make – you've seen this before. A guard or wing would drive to the basket, see Azeez, and turn back around. Right? That needs to be a stat, that turnaround. Turn around. And I think his ability to not only contest shots, block shots, make the offensive player think, I better not take it in here right now, and to rebound the basketball, especially defensively, is going to be key for this game. And I'm looking for Azeez to have a big game. If Azeez steps up big. I'm pretty confident that the other guys will as well. I think they'll continue their streak, like JT talked about Jizzle. I think Jizzle will continue. Hopefully Jizzle doesn't get, you know, look like, okay, last game I'm arrived, I'm here. And then, you know, get too overconfident. I don't think he's that type of kid, but I think the other guy, the surrounding cast, will do well. So hopefully Aziz steps up and impacts the game in many different ways. The Big O segment is sponsored by Smart Dog Solutions. Do you have a business that needs better inventory control, production management, or improved accounting control? Outgrown QuickBooks or can't afford NetSuite? Give Loyal Bearcat grads Doug and Kathy Jacobs at Smart Dog Solutions a call. They have been in your position and would love to help you solve your problems. They can be contacted at 513-739-9473 or online at smartdog-solutions.com. You're listening to the Bearcat Tip-Off Talk podcast presented by Donahue Accounting Services. The Kenyon segment is sponsored by Greg Hooden at Beachmont Toyota. Now, this is where we cover the keys to the game. JT, what do the Bearcats need to do to win?
Man, win the rebounding battle. And don't turn the ball over because you're not playing at home anymore. I want to see no more than 11 turnovers, win the rebounding battle. I know Avila is a good player, but he's very slow of foot, and Bearcats do not need to let him dominate the glass at all. I mean, it just shouldn't happen. Bearcats are too athletic. I know Indiana State has some athletic guards and wings, but Avila shouldn't control the paint just because the Bearcats are more athletic. So they got to beat the – they got to get a lot of offensive rebounds and dominate the glass and don't turn it over and don't shoot bad shots on a road because it's going to be a little different. So, but the main thing is defensive rebounding, offensive rebounding, and then turnovers.
You know, JT, you just mentioned something about him being a little bit slow of foot. big Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Larry
Bird. So, you know what's crazy? It's like some of these guys, and you see it in the NCAA tournament, but even with him in the NIT, you've got guys that come along like that that just kind of defy what like basketball is. So for example, just imagine you see like saying, hey, we're recruiting this guy and he's coming in next year and it's that kid. Fans would be like, what? Like,
yeah, there's true. No
way. You know what I'm saying? But and how about the big boy from NC State? What's his name?
DJ Burns.
Burns, yeah.
I mean, like, those guys, you look and, you know, you get caught up in these four-star, five-star, how athletic are they, blah, blah, blah. Hey, if you're skilled and you can play,
yep.
It doesn't – you know what I'm saying? Like, look at the guys like Luka. Luka's slow of foot.
Yeah. Joker slow of foot. You're right.
But, man, he's out there playing water polo on folks, man. Those passes he's making, like, he's in the they're crazy.
Yeah, for sure. Man. Definitely defies.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. But I guess my point is, like, you know, sometimes it just comes down to IQ, skill. If you can hoop, you can hoop, JT.
Yeah. Yeah, no, 100%. You can hoop. Yeah, I'm not after dogging me. You can hoop. And sometimes you just know, like, certain things you can do. Like, and he's just, you know, he can't jump probably over a phone book. But if you you go for a block and then you don't get – somebody comes and puts a body on him, pause, he's going to get the rebound probably. You know what I mean? He just knows where to be. He's going to, you know, use – you know, box out probably. He's not going to cheat you. So it's just certain stuff, man. I mean, some people just know how to play. He's one of them for sure. But the Bearcats are more athletic, and they got to do the small things so it doesn't burn them. Because this team's good, man. I watched Indiana State play a few times this year, and they're legit. So the Bearcats are going to have to bring lunch pails and be ready to ball.
Do they still make phone books? Do people still get phone books?
Nah, they probably stopped them. They should, man. Phone books. Remember people used to throw phone books in your yard and stuff?
Oh, yeah. I remember people used to sit on them to drive.
Yeah.
So they could see. Hey, JT, now keep it real. Don't try to turn all like professional on me. Did you used to prank people like phone pranks? Did you ever call people, prank them?
That wasn't really my thing, because it wasn't like Star 69, wasn't that a thing?
That later became a thing, but like,
so when I start doing, I had friends that would do it, Star 69, then you had to learn how to block it. But I did it before. I done did it a little bit. That wasn't a key thing, but we used to do like my thing was knocking on doors and running.
Oh, you were that guy?
Yeah, that was fun. Especially living in an apartment complex.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I was that kid, so I was knocking on doors and dipping. Like,
oh man, we used to play.
I'll be so pissed right now, but like, I guess I'm old. I'm a grouch now, I guess. But back in the day, that was the move. So I really wasn't the prank caller. I was I was knocking on your door, messing up your sleep.
That was ding and ditch or
yeah, ding and ditch.
Hey, but we used to pray. So when I was in middle school, they used to send to your house a directory of everybody that was in your school. And man, we would prank people. Oh man. Just come up with the wild. And I always wonder, I'm like, man, they have to know it's us. Like, because you know, when you're young, you're not good with disguising your voice and all that.
Yeah. But
prank calls, man, they need to bring that back.
Yeah, prank calls are tight.
Yeah, for sure. Neil, so I'm not sure, you know, JT's our resident expert, attendance counter. I don't even know if that's the right word, but what is Indiana State looking at in terms of attendance? You think they're gonna have a big crowd for this game, Neil?
I truly think they will, considering they had 10,000 the other night versus Minnesota. Ooh. On Sunday.
They had 10K?
8.5, so 8.5.
Okay.
Dang.
Yeah, 8.5. That's more than ECU JT had
all season.
Yeah. It's definitely not about to be an ECU game. That's what's up. We avoid ECU at all costs.
And with the momentum behind this Indiana State team, I think they garnered national attention throughout the season, top 25 for the first time. They should have been in the NCAA tournament, but got robbed, in my opinion.
They definitely got
We saw 14 points from a first half of Virginia when we could have saw Kareem Abdul-Jabbar be putting up 20 and 10 in the first half, potentially. We got robbed, folks. But this is a good Indiana State team, and with the momentum they got going on right now, and a trip to the NIT semifinals on the line in their home state right there at Hinkle Fieldhouse, the momentum's going to be riding. Fans are going to come out and support this team.
Yeah. So, I mean, so with whatever the crowd's looking like, obviously a big crowd, what do the Bearcats need to do to win big?
I think it really starts winning the battle of the glass. I think everybody knows if you can keep Avila off the glass, it's going to be a key component to this. But Azeez Bandego, Jamil Reynolds, the front court for Cincinnati has to have a big night. And I'm going to say Azeez Bandego and Jamil Reynolds need to combine for at least 16 rebounds. However, the numbers might split. Those two have to combine for 16. You win that, you limit your turnovers. Get to the foul line, because anytime Robbie Avila has gotten four fouls or more, it has resulted in an Indiana State loss all season. And the one game he fouled out just happened to be the Drake game in the conference championship. Look what happened. So if you can get Avila in some foul trouble, you get to the line, you're golden. You're golden, because they are a whole different team with Robbie Avila on the court. So if you can get them in foul trouble and do some damage from the free throw line, think you do all three of those things, and you're in great hands.
Love it. The Kenyan segment is sponsored by Greg Hooden at Beachmont Toyota. So, Neil, to kind of piggyback on what you were saying, my keys to the game is attack, 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 attack. Attack offensively. I think sometimes, especially when you're on the road, I think JT mentioned this a while back, you know, settling and firing up three-pointers and shooting too many threes. And I don't want to see us do that this game. I would like to see us attack, attack, attack. And attack not just to get to the free throw line, because, you know, who knows what's going to happen at the free throw line with this team sometimes with the Bearcats, but just to attack to, you know, bring that presence, you know, draw, you know, we're getting the other team into foul trouble. We're being strong going to the basket. And that's just like football. You run it, you run it, you run it to open it up to for the pass game, right? So you eventually open it up to get those three-pointers and knock those down. I think if the Bearcats can attack offensively, then start knocking down some threes a little bit later, CMOS seems to be. Did you notice, I think it was it the Bradley game when CMOS shot that three from the left wing? Like he almost did the Steph Curry where he shot it and he kind of turned around as he was shooting it. And it was like,
was that the logo ball from the NIT logo?
I don't even remember.
He hit one from the NIT logo, and it was he kind of gave that look like he knew it was going in.
Yeah, he's just got that swag going with his shot right now, and I love it. And I'm thinking, like, you know, the more and more we attack to the basket, that will open it up for those three-pointers, which will then become the dagger to help us win this basketball game. And then, you know, back – last point I want to make, back to Aziz, I just think defensively him kind of controlling things, rebounding defensively and contesting, you know, their bigs, the guards, anybody come into the lane. The Kenyon segment, Keys to the Game, was sponsored by Greg Hooden at Beachmont Toyota. Come see fellow Bearcat Greg Hooden at Beachmont Toyota for all your Toyota needs, cars, trucks, and SUVs. Greg Hooden at Beachmont Toyota is ready to help you get into your new Toyota. You're listening to the Bearcat Tip-Off Talk podcast presented by Donahue Accounting Services. The Twyman segment is sponsored by Visionary Cleaners. Now, this is where we cover hot topics. Today's hot topic, I kind of want to play off of the name game that we do with Neil Meyer. You know, he usually reads off names of the opposing team, and today we did all the nicknames, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Larry Bird, all that. So my question for the hot topics, and JT, I want to start with you. What is or what are some of your favorite sports nicknames of all times? There have been so many great nicknames between football, boxing, baseball, especially basketball. I mean, just all the sports, some great nicknames over the years. What are some of your favorites?
All right, so I'm going to go the answer. The answer is one of the dopest nicknames to me.
AI.
AI, yep, the answer. AI. Let's go. Even though, like, I'm a hater of the Celtics, the truth of Paul Pierce, that's a tight nickname.
Uh-huh.
Like that one. Let's see. Who else? I feel like I'm going to forget some of my favorite. Let's see. Nicknames. Let's see. Those are probably my favorite two off top of my head. Big Ticket, that's a tight. Big Ticket, that's a tight nickname.
That was KG, right?
KG, yep.
Yep, the Big Ticket.
Black Mamba, Kobe.
Oh, that one, man. Right.
That was tough.
Tough to see. Megatron.
Well, real quick before we move on, the Black Mamba, yep. Man, that nickname was not only super cool when he played, but just now, after his death, how that has lived on with the Mamba mentality.
Yeah.
Man, that's just been, right? That's just going to live on forever, that Mamba mentality, man. I love that. So good calling that one, JT.
For sure. Megatron, Calvin Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Who else? Who are some other good ones? Beast Mode.
Mm-hmm.
Beast Mode. Marshawn, that was dope. He still, I mean, he got his own line off that. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
So that's dope. Let's see, I'm trying to think of some other cool nicknames. Let's see. Generically, MJ. You know what I'm saying? His airness. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Let's see. Some other. Nick the Quick. Give some Bearcat love.
Yes, sir.
You know what I'm saying? NBA Bearcat love right there. Nick the Quick. Let's see some other good ones. Half man, half amazing.
Oh yeah, Rafer, you know
right?
Saying,
right.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's see some other good ones. There's a lot of good ones, man. That's probably my favorite. Probably Kobe, Kobe's Megatron, Pierce AI, Pierce and AI. Those are my probably got the dopest nicknames.
I'd say of the ones you named, I would say Mamba would be at the top for me of the ones you
that's
named.
Fair. Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Neil?
Yeah. So, first of all, when you're thinking of nicknames right off the bat for famous college athletes or professional athletes, Prime Time has got to be in there. Deion Sanders, I think that's a tough nickname.
Yeah, for sure.
You mentioned Allen Iverson, the answer. Black Mamba. Can't forget the Big O, Cincinnati legend.
The Big O. Good catch.
Yeah, it was.
Reggie Jackson, Mr. October. That's pretty
cool. That was a dope nickname.
That was a dope nickname. He called him a whole month.
Pretty tough nickname. Frank Thomas, the Big Hurt, just because he was back at home.
Yeah. I was thinking of some, trying to think of some baseball ones, and I was like, I was drawing a blank. That was a good one. Those are both good ones.
Yeah, there's a lot of good nicknames out there, too.
What's Ken Griffey's nickname?
The Kid.
Yeah.
That's
a good one. What's another good one? There's so many of them. So many good ones of them. Nick Young, Swaggy P, can't forget Swaggy that P. one.
It's a tight nickname.
I don't know if we want to be swaggy like Swaggy P, but that's a Stan the Man too. Stan Musial, that's a good nickname. I just think how that's fitting with the first name. And then you got there's still a lot of good nicknames out there. I'm trying to think of some like hockey or some boxing ones, but I'm drawing a blank on those ones. I'm not a big hockey guy.
I don't think I could name.
I can't name anybody. I can't get nothing for hockey. I could have thought that boxing has some tight ones too.
I got some for that. Don't steal my thunder. I was gonna go with the boxing ones. I got some boxing.
You also can't forget. Speaking of this, we hear it every year. Caitlin Clark just broke his scoring record. Pistol Pete.
Yeah,
that's a good one. Okay. That's a good one.
I think of the ones you named, Neil. Obviously, we're going to be biased to the Big O, but Mr. October is pretty. That's pretty dope.
That's tough, especially in baseball when you just that's tough.
That's the whole month, right?
That's the whole month. That's, playing. Month.
That's basically you're the GOAT. You're Mr. October. The Twyman segment is sponsored by Visionary Cleaners. All right, let me jump into my boxing one real quick because I think boxing has some of the greatest nicknames. Marvelous Marvin Hagler. I always loved that. And growing up, like Marvelous Marvin, like damn, that's a dope nickname.
Yeah, it is.
The Real Deal Holyfield.
Yeah.
that's a good one.
Yeah, it is.
And what was so cool about boxing is how they would really use those nicknames when is it Michael Buffer, right?
Yeah.
That does the announcing for boxing, announcing who's out. You know, Iron Mike Tyson, Real Deal Holyfield. Like I love those. Now taking it to let's see, football, Gary Payton, Sweetness. I was a big I'm talking to Gary. I said Gary Payton.
Gary Payton. I didn't get Gary Payton. On the glove.
Gary Payton was the glove.
I missed one of my favorite ones.
Who?
Rayman.
Sean Kemp. Yeah.
Dang, that's Rayman, bro. That was a tight name. Yep. Rayman. He was in Seattle. That was dope.
That was a great nickname. With the rain in Seattle, for sure. Yeah.
That was dope. Sure.
And he was raining down. Walter Payton. I'm sorry. Walter Payton.
Walter.
Sweet.
Not GP.
Hey, not yet. Hate to interrupt. The big fundamental. I knew I was forgetting one. Tim Duncan.
Another good one. I'm going to save my best one for last. Okay. I'm saving the best one. Mean Joe Green. I always thought that was tough. He looked like Mean Joe Green.
Yeah, he definitely did.
Didn't he?
Yeah, for sure. He fit that one.
And even though I didn't like him as a basketball player, the mailman, Karl Malone, the mailman.
Yeah, I see. That's the, I
didn't like his game.
His game was so, man.
It was like, oh, I can't stand this guy on the court. Like, I was such a big Bulls fan. You know what I mean? Like, no, I wasn't feeling Karl Malone.
Nah, I even watch Karl Malone now, and I'll be like, if I watch some old clips and he pop, I'll be like, man, Karl Malone was kind of cheap for real. He had the stats, so I mean, people be like, the stats, but his game was not like, I ain't never heard no kids say they want to play like Karl Malone. How about that? That's all I'll say.
You don't even hear guys today or guys pre this generation now say, oh, you know, I watch a lot of Karl Malone films.
He's never been a person like, I mean, I'm out of one game after him. Like, nobody's said that.
But I tell you who they
years. Like, nobody said they modded a game after Karl Malone.
But I tell you who they do talk about today, even though this guy played during that era, was Hakeem the Dream.
For sure.
Great nickname, and also his game, man. Like, Hakeem the Dream was a man. He was a monster.
Yes, sir. Footwork was on point. Defense, ooh, crazy. Like, man, he was like, for real, keeping it a buck to me is like whatchamacallit. I don't know if he's as good defensively as Hakeem was back then, but like Embiid is like what I feel like Hakeem would be right now.
That's good. That's a good point.
Like, similar. You know what I mean?
Embiid just got to stay healthy.
He got to stay healthy. And then Hakeem stay healthier. I think he might have a little bit more bouncy than Embiid, too. But they got games kind of similar. They remind me of each other.
Yep. So I've got a couple more, and then I'm going to get to my last two home runs for me. And actually, they're not baseball players, but they're home run nicknames. But like, seriously, when you think of a nickname, does anything fit a person more than Magic with Magic Johnson? Like, on the court, his personality, like, Magic was the perfect nickname for that dude. If you really think about it, right? Like, there's this video clip of when he played, gosh, I don't remember what years it was, but, you know, his prime with the Lakers. It was like an Instagram video where he's throwing these passes and dropping these dimes. And as he's throwing it, they edit in it like these sparkles coming off the ball, like he's doing a magic trick. And then they got this music. Man, it is like, it's so crazy to see, man. I think Magic's one of the most fitting nicknames, personality and player wise. And growing up, my dad would always talk about, and I really didn't get a chance to really watch him, but Dr. J. I always thought that was a pretty cool nickname. But the two that I'm going to end on, one is a guy that Neil has no idea who he is. JT, you might, but it actually became my nickname at UC. Sean Myrick, Sean Myrick, my old teammate, gave me this nickname, and it actually became my nickname amongst the team and even some media people. JT, do you even know what my nickname was?
Nah.
So my nickname was I was nicknamed after another guy. So I'm not saying my nickname was the best. I'm telling you the nickname of another guy. Vinny Johnson, the microwave.
Oh, okay. Vinny Johnson? I know who Vinny Johnson is.
The microwave.
The microwave, so, Detroit Pistons.
Detroit Pistons. And Neil, they called him the microwave because he didn't start. He didn't play a ton of minutes. But when he came in, he heated it up quickly. Yes.
Yeah, he's one of the OG six men.
Man.
He made six men cool. He was legit.
The microwave. And he was short and compact. Like, he was like a microwave. And so one game, I came in and I scored, you know, a couple points like right off the rip. And then the next game I came in, and I have my career high, and we're in the locker room, and Sean Myrick was like, man, I'm calling you Microwave Meacham. And everyone's just started laughing, so they start calling me the microwave. True story. So Vinny Johnson's nicknames always holds a special place in my heart. But my home run nickname, I think this is one of the best nicknames of all time. It's He Hate Me. That dude came out where He Hate Me on the back of his jersey.
Hey, it was fire, though.
That was the greatest thing. That was like the greatest.
He made it to the league off that. He was balling though.
Man,
he hate me. He was balling.
The back of his jersey said, "He hate me." He hate me.
That's XFL. That was crazy. He hate me. It's crazy.
Isn't that crazy?
Dude was legendary. I don't know his real name.
I don't either. But I'm telling you what, people watched just to see him.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, nah, legit.
They just watched the what was it, the XFL, right?
It was XFL. Yeah.
I mean, I haven't watched an XFL game since.
Yeah, he hate me was next level. That was a good one. I forgot
about it. That's Rod Smart.
Yeah. Hey, that marketing was crazy. Imagine now. Like, he's still probably getting money now because of that, for real.
Oh, no question. No question about it.
That's tight. That was one of the best marketing plans ever. He probably didn't even do it on purpose. He probably just like how he felt. Just probably, somebody need to hunt him down. And I wonder if he's been on any pods talking about his life.
Well, he's going to be on this one next season. We'll get him on.
He ate me on.
Because he was a running back, right? Yeah, he was a running back.
Yeah,
he was a
running back. Yeah.
Running back. Yeah. Rod Smart. Oh, man, that was fun. Man,
name was Rod Smart. I forgot to.
Rod Smart.
He hate me. Damn, that was a good one.
That was one of my – I thought that was the funniest thing ever, man.
Yeah.
That was good. That was good. I think now they need to have, like, players need to have more nicknames. I felt like that was such a big thing, you know, back in the day. Like, everybody seemed like had a nickname back in the day. My dad tells stories, you know what I mean? He's just like, oh, when I was growing up, old Johnny White Shoes Johnson down the street. I'm like, White Shoes, what?
White Shoes.
They always have goofy nicknames like that.
They do be having random nicknames. Right? It was a dude in the league with that nickname, like Billy White Shoes. White Shoes. Like, being the first person wearing white shoes, that's got to be crazy, though. Like, person they call you White Shoes.
For sure. So, I tell you, man, my dad has some of the best. My dad just turned 91 on Thursday. And you think about, and listen to this, my dad's father, my grandmother, passed away at 104, right? So you're talking about two people that not only lived a great life, but saw so much. And to hear them talk about a certain time and comparing it to now is just fascinating, man. Just to hear how different life was back then, sports-wise, like, my dad told me, like, at Bearcat games, they used to smoke cigarettes back in the day at the game.
Smoking cigarettes in the arena is crazy, man.
Can you imagine playing on the court and you see somebody in the crowd just smoking a cigarette?
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, that's crazy.
Hey, it's not good for your lungs while you're running.
No. It's just, I mean, if you go back and you Google old Celtics games, the coach was smoking a cigar.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah, which is mind blowing to me. Like, what the coach is supposed
to say? I need you to trap my man over in the corner. Are you getting cigar smoke in your face with 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter?
Man,
that's crazy.
Super crazy.
You're some rotations because you got cigar smoke in your lungs.
Oh man,
that's why
my dad often talks about. Because, you know, I'm such a big shoe guy. He talks about growing up and just like Chuck Taylors. That was it.
Man, I think about that all the time. Like, man, back then, maybe because they probably weren't as quick. I mean, people were quick, but it's not the same where everybody's like, you know, it's a little different. More advanced. It's mutations. You know what I'm saying? But imagine playing like right now. You hand everybody that plays basketball some Chuck T's.
Couldn't.
Man, I'm talking about ankles would be exploding.
Man, I mean,
careers over. Like dislocation, like foot leaving ankle, like literally game within 5 minutes.
Let me ask you this question. what if, how crazy of an experiment would this have been? Like, I know it can't happen, but imagine going back in time and giving Oscar Robertson like some Air Jordans and him hooping in Air Jordans and not Chuck Taylor. Like, how good would Oscar would have been jumping like Space Jam, like a Monstar?
I've been thinking about that all the time. Like, what if you could take like one person from like current NBA,
drop them off in the,
and drop them off like in the 50s and 60s? Like, imagine you dropped off Kyrie Irving right now.
Oh my Lord. Or I'll give you a good one. I'll give you two good ones. Prime Russell Westbrook or Ja Morant.
That would be crazy.
A prime Russell Westbrook, like in his prime, how fast.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
That'd be crazy. You give them regular shoes and put them in the 50s and 60s. It would be crazy.
Have you ever watched? Go to YouTube. Neil, and this would be a good one for you. Go to YouTube and watch, find some old footage of the 50s and 60s games, or just, you know, from back from that time period. Man, it is crazy to watch. You know what I'm saying? Like, obviously, the game's going to, well, you know, think about years from now. We're going to watch the games now. And, or if we're even alive, our kids' kids. Yeah. Man, what was LeBron James was whack, man. He couldn't. It's like, what? You're going to be saying that one day, JT.
Yes, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's happening in the mic right now.
I know. I'm like, do we have to put this? Do we have to have a pandemic? I'm going to start a pandemic again just so we can watch The Last Dance again, just so people are reminded how good Michael Jordan was. Don't go on Instagram talking about Michael couldn't go left. Don't give me that shit.
he's tragic going left.
People on social media saying, oh, Michael Jordan couldn't go left. Then somebody put a highlight tape of him going left, like just like 12 clips of just craziness. You can't go left.
Look at him. Hey, it's funny though. I don't go lie. But you can make anybody look bad if you just, I mean, everybody got some bad clips out there. You know what I'm saying?
No question. No question.
You know what I'm saying? No matter how good you are. Nobody's perfect. You know what I'm saying? Nobody's Jesus. So somebody you're gonna have some bad stuff out there. It's like if you just post all Ken Griffey strikeouts. You know what I'm saying?
Like, oh, he's trash. I'm like, what?
Hey, what?
The sweetest swing in the history of baseball.
Like, it's just post names. Like, look at this strikeout. Like, hold on, man. Chill. Hold on. Don't take that from me. Some of the stuff was bad. Like, it was super bad spacing back in the day, though, that I didn't realize when I was younger. Like, basketball spacing on the court was ridiculous in the 90s and 80s.
Yeah, there was some there was some stuff back then that you look at now, it's like, ooh.
Yeah, if you drop a coach and like it was crazy. Some of that spacing was crazy more so. That's what was crazy more so than anything.
You know what kills me? If you look at the old days, like Bob Cousy and some of those guys, you watch some of those videos, and he will literally dribble to his left with his right hand.
That's so crazy to me, man.
You know what I'm talking about? And I'm like, how does it – are you not allowed to steal the ball when they're doing that? Because I'm like –
they just – evolution, man. It was evolution.
Man,
that's crazy. Ain't no way somebody going to bring it up the court consistently with a hand – like with a strong hand, but on the wrong side of the court. Like, that's just
– it's mind-boggling to me. Hey, but it's just a different – you know, the evolution, man. The evolution. Yep. Neil's like, man, I don't know what y'all are talking about. How old are you, Neil?
24.
24? I am 23. Michael Jordan, I'm 23 years older than you. I'm 23 years. I feel like every podcast we give you like some like
old knowledge.
Stuff. Yeah, we try to get you to go back and watch some stuff. I don't think you've ever looked at or listened to anything we told you to. I think, didn't we tell him to go watch Coming to America?
Yeah.
I didn't have time yet. Didn't have time.
This is bullshit, Neil.
Yeah, it is. There's a couple other shows you need to watch. There's some other stuff, man.
We gave you behind stuff. Yeah, you're behind. I think we gave you like some Black History Month stuff to do, and you didn't do it. Like read Malcolm X. Like you didn't have done it.
I'll read it. I'll read them.
You're not reading Malcolm X. That book's too thick, man. Pause.
Yeah.
That book's like 2000.
I still gotta listen to the Stevie Wonder album. I didn't forget about that.
So I tell you, Neil, trust me. Do this. Listen to Songs of the Key of Life and go find Dan Horde and just say, hey, my favorite song of Songs of the Key of Life is, and then tell him. You will have a 30-minute conversation with him. He's like me. He thinks it's the greatest album ever. He'll have a whole new respect for you, man. It's a fantastic album, man. One of my favorites. You ask us to listen to you asked JT and I to listen to the
Luke Combs album.
I haven't done it.
I haven't done it either. I'm sorry. I'm behind on that.
I dropped the ball.
Yeah,
I'm a part of the problem.
This was fun. I enjoyed bringing back the nickname. So I'm gonna say, just to put some closure on this, we're gonna go with Black Mamba, Mr. October, and He Hate Me as some of the best of all time. That's fair.
That's fair.
Yeah,
that's fair. The Twyman segment is sponsored by Visionary Cleaners. Visionary Cleaners is a locally owned company by former Bearcats student athletes. They specialize in high quality commercial cleaning of businesses, apartment, and pre and post construction cleans. They can be reached at 513-388-7816 or contacted online at visionarycleaners.com. Fellas, this concludes another great podcast. Thanks to all of our sponsors, Donahue Accounting Services, Smart Dog Solutions, Greg Hood and the Beachmont Toyota, and Visionary Cleaners. You're listening to the Bearcat Tip Off Talk podcast presented by Donahue Accounting Services. For friendly expert tax advice whenever you need it, come to Donahue Accounting Services. A leading accounting firm in Cincinnati, Ohio, our top-notch accountants strive to help you resolve all your financial and tax issues. Call Donahue Accounting Services today for a free consultation at 513-528-3982 or visit online, DonahueAccountingService.com. We want to thank all the Bearcat fans out there for listening to another episode of the Bearcat Tip-Off Talk podcast. Go Bearcats!